You know what we need? We need pigs in space, don't we? We need Miss Piggy to come back now that Jeff Bezos. We need to put Miss Piggy and Kermit on a rocket and send them the woke Muppets into space. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to call in, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Question. Do you remember when Donald Trump was president of the United States? We, the United States of America, were accused by Democrats of running concentration camps at the southern border. Kids in cages. That's what we were accused of doing. Did you know, question, did you know that the kids are still in the cages at the border? They've just changed the fencing so it looks less cagey, but they're still caged. Did you notice how the issue just disappeared? The left is about performance. Now, part of this is postmodernism. Not to beat a dead horse or to be a broken record here, but in postmodernism, the way one signals what they say is true is by performance. One cannot just say the vaccine is scientifically sound, you should take it. One must get it and then attack people who don't get it to show your fidelity to, quote unquote, your truth. Or one must, if they don't want it, engage in conspiracy theory, lie about it, and find social media that backs up what they're saying and berate anyone who dares suggest you get it. It's performance. You do it. I do it. It is part of postmodernism. You need to understand this. In modernism, to quote scripture, let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. In postmodernism, if your yes is a yes or your no is a no, you must pound your chest, jump on the desk, scream about it, and attack anyone who disagrees in order to show that your yes really is a yes and your no really is a no. It's all about performance. And the left, because the left has fully been consumed by postmodernism, more so than the right, although there are clearly elements of the right that have, the left is in full performance mode constantly. So it was kids in cages, concentration camps at the border when Donald Trump was president. But now that the Democrats are in power, it's all hunky-dory, no big deal. Don't you call it a crisis. And then there's the performance of Ben and Jerry, the woke left-wing ice cream maker in Vermont. They've decided to stop selling their ice cream, the West Bank and in Jerusalem, because it is quote unquote occupied Palestinian territory. Occupied Palestinian territory. Now, Unilever acquired the ice cream company in 2000, and Unilever has become very woke. Unilever, I think, do they own Harry's Razors? Who is the parent company? I think it's the same thing. The reason I bring up Harry's Razors is because, Edgewell Personal, they're Schick. Unilever owns one of the other ones. Wilkinson Sword, all of that. Yes. A lot of these companies are woke. I bring up Harry's Razors because, Harry's Razors has begun a boycott of conservative radio show hosts. I'm a customer. I used to advertise for them, but not anymore because the wokes complained and they were rapidly willing to part ways with me because I'm not woke. Unilever has also gone very woke in a lot of its brands, and Ben & Jerry's is a partnership with Unilever. And now I'm reading from the Washington Free Beacon. There's no comparison between Israeli policy in the West Bank and the practices of the world's greatest human rights abusers. Unilever happily does business everywhere from occupied northern Cyprus to occupied Tibet to Xinjiang, home of the Uyghur concentration camps. We won't hold our breath for the ice cream boycott of China or Russia. But hey, there are no Jews in Xinjiang. The left, when they engage in performance, tend to reveal themselves as anti-Semites. There was the Linda Sarsour and the Women's March, anti-Semites, but they were anti-Trump, so Ben and Jerry's was willing to side with them. There were all sorts of social justice warriors who blasted Ben and Jerry's for not taking action, and so now they're not going to sell ice cream to Palestinians. That's how they're going to do it. It's performance, and the left engages in all sorts of performance. And so the big performance now is in the name of the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divest, Sanction Israel movement. Unilever's Ben and Jerry's has decided that they will not sell their ice cream to Palestinians because their territory is occupied by Jews, and they don't want Jews to eat their ice cream. So if you're Jewish and you eat Ben and Jerry's, just understand they don't want you as a customer because they themselves have embraced anti-Semitism as a performance ritual to show their progressive virtue. But it's not just them. We have a problem at our border. The border is being overrun. And the Democrats have been telling us it's no big deal. It's really, it's to listen to the Democrats talk about the southern border with Mexico, there's not a problem there. In fact, what the Democrats would tell you is that it's a seasonal problem. The problem is the seasonal problem tends to happen in the spring or the late fall, but it's the summer season, it's hot, and they keep on coming. As immigration heats up, according to the Washington Post, Biden struggles for a clear plan. The huge increase in illegal border crossings that President Biden describes as seasonal is growing larger despite the summer heat. Americans rate his handling on immigration poorly. And the president himself worries that Republican attacks on the issue will resonate politically. When President Obama faced a similar situation, he toughened enforcement, detained families, and increased deportations. But under Biden, such measures have become anathema to Democrats who feel they were badly abused by President Trump. This leaves Biden in a vice, caught between the costly reality of a historic border influx and supporters who erupt in anger when his administration hints at tighter control. In other words, he's held captive by a left-wing base. Here's the New York Times. Biden faces new pressure on immigration. President Biden came under renewed pressure on immigration Friday as the authorities said the largest number of migrants in years arrived at the border with Mexico last month, and a federal judge in Texas raised legal questions about an Obama-era program that protects young immigrants from deportation. Border officials encountered migrants nearly 6,000 times a day last month, for a total of 188,829, the largest monthly number in recent history, according to data released on Friday. The surge is happening at the height of the hottest summer months, when the flow of people seeking entry into the United States usually abates. Andrew Hannon of the U.S. District Court in Houston ruled that DACA was unlawful, raising new questions about the fate of nearly 600,000 immigrants, often referred to as Dreamers, but in a partial victory, Hannon stopped order of ordering the program's termination. The ruling adds urgency to Democratic efforts to permanently legalize DACA recipients. Activists have already been pressuring Mr. Biden to make sure Dreamers and other immigrants are given a path. Taken together, Friday's developments underscore the difficult and often politically fraught choices Biden is confronting on immigration. But wait, the Democrats, engaged in performance, now have a spin. Are you ready for this? From Sabrina Rodriguez, the immigration correspondent for Politico, we knew this was coming. It was only a matter of time. It is here now. Here in the small Mayan indigenous village of Cucup, men and boys pack tightly and stand in the back of pickup trucks in the early morning, headed to the fields to check on their crops after a night of harsh rain. It's early June, and any strong storm had the potential to derail months of work tending to crops, mostly maize, which soon people will harvest to feed their families. And these days, everyone is on high alert after back-to-back hurricanes last year left their home province of Alta Verapaz among the most devastated in the region. As the men head for the fields, women and young girls, many dressed in bright colored skirts and tops with hand-embroidered flowers and patterns, hold bowls of maize over their heads, gingerly walking between homes made of wooden sticks, straw, metal sheets, and concrete blocks. It's climate change. That's right. It's not just climate change acting alone. It's food insecurity. It's malnutrition. It's poverty. It all ties together. That's why they're coming. Climate change is the reason. Kamala Harris could have written this piece. Listen, I don't want to downplay changes in climate. The West right now is on fire. In fact, I read an article, I think it was in the New York Times last night, that the fire up in Oregon is so massive, it is altering weather patterns in the area. Wind shifts, lightning, and the like. It's a big deal. Now, whether it's man-made or not, the climate clearly is changing, and the climate is changing in Central America. And the big issue, however, is that they're trying to minimize the crime problem, the civil society collapse. To the extent they want to talk about it, they say that too is climate change. Notice how, so we have this divide. Have you noticed this? Domestically in the United States, domestically, every problem is to blame on race. And internationally, every problem is to blame on climate. You have Bloomberg News praising the Chinese government for forcibly evicting people from their homes and forcing them to move to cities in the name of fighting climate change. You have the Politico's immigration correspondent telling people, well, the surge is because of climate change. No, actually, it's because these are third world hellholes run by despots, ruled by gangs of criminal thugs who are wantonly killing people after shaking them down in the streets. And that's why they're coming to this country. That has way more to do with law and order than climate. But, you know, Democrats, progressives never, ever recognize law and order as an issue. It actually legitimately is an issue in Central America. Armed gangs shaking people down. If they don't get their money the next day, they kill them. There was a story, I forget what magazine it was last month, but there was a story, I think it was out of Guatemala, where a family had someone show up at the door and essentially say the next day you were going to pay them a large sum of money, or else that family packed up in the middle of the night and fled to the United States border because they knew they were going to get killed the next day because they didn't have the money. That's not climate change. That's a thug gang. But apparently progressives can't acknowledge law and order issues anywhere on planet Earth. And so instead they'll blame climate change. And that's not to minimize changes in the climate. Droughts, changed weather patterns and the like. A lot of the country's experiencing it. In fact, we're having a rather mild summer here in the Southeast. In fact, I asked a meteorologist at my flagship station, WSB, is going to come on and talk to me about the changing weather patterns that we're experiencing in the country and the drought out west, the more mild summer here in the Southeast and the like. But what the left wants to do is take, again, the hedgehog, the one big idea, and explain everything. It's racism and systemic racism in this country, and it's climate change everywhere else. And law and order issues are actually climate change issues. And essentially, you have a mythology that is unfalsifiable, and if you dare dispute it, you're the bad guy. Live not by lies. And yet, that's where we are as an explanation for everything in this country right now. Now, why is that? It's because it's the best the Democrats have. They know in off-year elections, the party out of power tends to do real well. And they got to find a way to combat it. And the way they're trying to combat it is to essentially say, it's all you people's fault. You're the racists and you're the people polluting and you must be stopped. And they're trying to do an us versus them divisive campaign the same way they accused Donald Trump. But the left is very good at dividing people up as well. They just never like to admit that that's what they're doing. Do you know why you get free mail services out there? Because, I mean, you're actually the what's being sold to advertisers, among other things, and it's just not smart right now. With so many hackers, so much sensitive information out there, you need a great email service that keeps everything private, and you're not up for sale, you're not getting ads in return. Start Mail keeps everything encrypted. Everything is great, and when you delete it, your email from Start Mail, it's gone forever. Now, you can feel safe with Start Mail because it's backed by the world's most robust privacy laws, and Start Mail uses their own servers, not Amazon's, which means that they can't be put out of the business like Parler was put out of business. You get unlimited anonymous alias addresses. So let's say you need to provide an email to a company, but you want to protect your identity. You don't want to start getting spam from them. Start Mail can generate a shareable alias email for you, and it can be deleted at any time. Now, here's what you got to do. You go to start securing your email privacy with StartMail by signing up today, and you get 50% off your first year. You go to startmail.com/Eric. That's StartMail with a T, StartMail.com/Eric, for 50% off your first year. StartMail.com/Eric. Keep your mail confidential. Keep your email private. Avoid the scams and the hackers with StartMail. All right, so I'm going to do something somewhat unusual here. My flagship station is WSB in Atlanta. Most of my stations are in Georgia. There is some breaking news, and I want to make sure that my flagship station, WSB, can get this bit recorded so the newsroom can recycle this, because there's some breaking news that just happened, and I want to comment on it and happen to know what I'm talking about. The governor of the state of Georgia has appointed Verda Colvin to be the next justice of the Georgia Supreme Court. I happen to know her, not well, but she's phenomenal. Harold Melton was the only black justice of the Georgia Supreme Court. He was the chief justice. And Verda Colvin was the only black nominee to be qualified by the Judicial Qualifications Commission to be on the court. It was natural for him to pick her, but there will be a lot of people who think this pick is just a diversity play. Keep in mind, Kemp will get no credit for this at all. The black politicians in Georgia who are Democrat will not care that he's done this. You should care, though, because this is a phenomenal person. As a friend of mine who is a Republican just texted me, she is inside and out a phenomenal person. And she came to prominent national attention back several years ago, and when she was in court in Bibb County, Georgia, where I used to practice law, and she was lecturing the kids who were sitting in court that day about their life choices and how it could impact them and that they had to take responsibility. She was offered a TV show. She had all sorts of national offers, and she rejected them all to stay in the system to be a judge, and then got appointed to, I believe, the Court of Appeals. Yes, she was the first black woman put on the Court of Appeals by a Republican governor, and now he's promoted her to the Georgia Supreme Court. There'll be a lot of conservatives who say, we wanted a hardcore conservative. You will like Verda Colvin. She will not be the firebrand conservative some of you wanted. She will be one of the most capable and articulate justices to make conservative cases for public policy from the perspective of a black woman in Georgia who recognizes that there's sin in the world and there are good people and bad people and justice comes for all of them and justice should be given equitably to everyone and everyone is equal under the law and the law shows no favoritism. She is a great pick and the governor should be commended. I will be honest with you. I had suggested Andrew Pinson. He was a law clerk for Justice Clarence Thomas, and he is going to be her replacement on the Court of Appeals. That in and of itself is a great pick. I don't know him at all, but everyone I know who knows him thinks the world of him. He will be a good pick on the Georgia Court of Appeals, but Verda Colvin on the Georgia Supreme Court is a solid pick by Governor Kemp. And I wanted to take time out from the Nationals because I actually know her. And again, I don't know her well, but I know her and I think the world of her. Occasionally you see, but regardless of politics and party, there are people you come into contact with on this planet and you say, this person by virtue of their character should succeed. And so often on planet Earth, you see people with bad character who know the right people and they get ahead. And it frustrates you and makes you a little cynical because it's the person with the connections who got ahead, not the person with the good character who got ahead. This is a case where the person with the good character, who did not have all of the connections that other people had, but she had remarkably sound and good character and brilliant judgment, and she's getting ahead. This is a situation of the good guys getting ahead. She's one of the good guys. And it's delightful to see her picked for the Georgia Supreme Court. Really, really is. I realize most of you listening, 95% of you listening, will never know her, will never come into contact with her. but you can be proud of the governor of the state of Georgia for putting her on the Supreme Court, because regardless of party politics, political affiliations, and ideologies, she's going to be a brilliant justice on the Supreme Court. She's just a super, super person. If character counts, character won with that appointment. We'll be back. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson. The phone number, should you wish to call in, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I'm going to talk about an advertiser here instead of at the end of the segment, because it's actually relevant to what I want to talk about. And so while, yes, it is an ad for an advertiser, it's actually deeply relevant to the point I want to make. And so I want to explain for you just one moment here. What Patriot Mobile is, they're our new advertiser. But again, it's relevant to a lot of stuff that you are asking about. So there is a company called Patriot Mobile. Some of the wokest companies in America these days are American telecommunication companies. They inevitably give to a bunch of progressive causes. Even a company, a number of them that seem to be institutionally conservative, they prop up and support a bunch of left-wing causes. And increasingly, conservatives want to look for alternatives. Where do I go? Now, there's a situation with Black Rifle Coffee. They had a New York Times profile. I didn't think it was that bad. Some friends of mine were very offended by it. They did come out and say they believe that the New York Times distorted them a bit. But, for example, Black Rifle Coffee doesn't really want to stand with a bunch of the far right. Black Rifle Coffee had some PR issues when a number of the people who went into the Capitol on January 6th were wearing their apparel. I mean, they got a very cool logo. They've got some very cool branding. And a lot of the far right guys who were in there, got onto the floor of the House of the Senate, were wearing their logo, and they don't want to be associated with those guys. And they didn't really want like that Kyle Rittenhouse, the young man in Wisconsin who is charged with murder, was wearing their apparel, and they spoke out about it. The New York Times went out of their way essentially to portray them as bashing conservatives, which they weren't doing. It was taken that way by a lot of people on the right who've engaged in as much cancel culture as the left. And because people on the right now, they want to find companies that share their values, that treat them well, that respect them, and they turn their back very quickly. Now, there's no level of grace. There's no level of saying, maybe the New York Times misquoted them or framed this in such a way that I would be mad at them and go after them. And unfortunately, a lot of people went after it. There's a desire for people on the right now to align with companies. And there are some companies, smart companies, Black Rifle Coffee would be one of them, that tends to align their values. And again, with Black Rifle, you may have been pissed off with the interview with them, but this is a company that's like 90 to 99% with you. What incentive do they have to even market to you, care about you, or have your back when the New York Times runs a profile on them designed to make them look bad and you buy into it and burn bridges with them? I get people want to find companies that align with their values. And I do think you have to show them grace. I actually went out to try to find companies that align with my values and your values and build long-term partnerships with them as this show grows into national syndication. And I found one in Patriot Mobile that I mentioned earlier. Now, Patriot Mobile is a cell phone carrier. They're a telecom company. And they're the only one that explicitly identifies and is open about the faith premise and the conservative convictions. So they're Christian, they're conservative, and they actually do a very good job. I was willing and able to switch to Patriot Mobile, and I wanted to recommend them to you. I was delighted that they decided to advertise with us. They donate a portion of every dollar that they generate to organizations that fight for the causes conservatives care about, from pro-life causes to military causes. They got the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other carriers use, so you can port your phone over and not have to worry about your service. And they give discounts to veterans and first responder and heroes, and they have multi-line users. They are a family-friendly Christian organization that you can feel comfortable partnering with and sending your money to, because they're not going to fund the woke causes. They're not going to betray your values. And so many of you have been asking me, where can I go? I'm tired of supporting this company. This company, it doesn't support my values. It's doing things that are affront to me personally. I don't want my dollars going to it. Well, you know, I provide you solutions, and a solution is like Patriot Mobile. Now, right now, Patriot Mobile, you get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment. You get Premier activation included. Switching actually is very easy. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, E-R-I-C-K, patriotmobile.com/Eric. You can also call them if you want to talk to someone on the phone. 972-PATRIOT is their number. But you guys ask me all the time, what is a good company? Where? What companies can I support? What companies? I don't want to boycott. I want to boycott. I don't want to say I'm not going to use someone, but I do want to buy from, get goods or services from a good company that shares my value. Here's one for you. Patriot Mobile, a solid, dependable, Christian conservative organization. In fact, the owner is one of the people who led the effort to fight back against critical race theory in the Carroll Independent School District in Texas. I'm trying to get him on to talk about that. Not really talk about his company, but to talk about that. But again, patriotmobile.com/Eric or 972-PATRIOT. Check them out. And this, again, I put them as an ad read here because it's actually relevant to what I want to talk about with these other companies, that increasingly we are seeing a bifurcated society, and it's not the society you or I wanted. And that's something people need to understand. You and I did not set out to say, these are the companies I'm going to support. You and I just want a good product, good service. But increasingly, wokes are rubbing our nose in the fact that they're going to use the profits from these companies and fund a culture war against us. And that's a problem. In New York, the New York legislature, now in control of Democrats, is looking at blocking rest stops in New York from having Chick-fil-A's. Because the founder, who is now dead, was a Christian conservative who supported pro-life and pro-traditional marriage causes. And so they don't want them, because of the founder's beliefs, to be able to set up locations at restaurants. San Antonio, Texas was the same way. They tried to block a Chick-fil-A. Now, they could have legitimately said, we don't want them because they're closed on Sunday. We get a lot of traffic through here. We'd rather have someone open on Sunday. They didn't say that. What they said is, these are Christian bigots. We don't want them. And so what happens? You and I, we want to support these businesses that the worldliness of the world says no. But occasionally, these businesses do things that we don't like. Our response should not be the left's response. Burn them to the ground, immediately boycott them. The left is boycotting Home Depot. They're boycotting Home Depot, not because Home Depot supported the election law in Georgia. Home Depot's headquartered in Georgia. Home Depot's executive spoke out against the election reform bill in Georgia. But again, postmodernism, you got to perform to show your convictions. Home Depot didn't do a dog and pony show to express their convictions. They didn't protest. They didn't organize company sit-ins. They didn't hand out flyers to customers saying, call your legislator and stop this nonsense. No, they didn't do any of that. They didn't send emails out to their employees like Delta did or Coca-Cola did. And so they're being boycotted for not being sufficiently committed to the cause. I don't think the right should respond. Like this controversy with Black Rifle Coffee, I don't think the right should respond in this way. I don't think we should say, well, you pissed me off with this New York Times interview. You clearly don't want to be associated with me. No, no, no. They made it very clear. They're conservative and they want to be associated with conservatives and patriots, but they really didn't like the fact that some of the people with zip ties and masks over their face on the floor of the United States Senate were wearing their logo. And they didn't really like, as a matter of branding, that Kyle Rittenhouse was wearing their clothes. Now, I think they got that one wrong. Based on what I know of the Rittenhouse case, it was self-defense, and they shouldn't be distancing themselves from him. But this is a company that's otherwise been pro-veteran, pro-military, pro-conservative, pro-Trump to a degree, much more so than many other companies. And now you're saying, it was all a marketing campaign. Screw you. I'm going to go to Starbucks now, where at least I know my money is going to progressives, where your money is still going to veterans causes and Christians. People have lost their damn mind. And a lot of this is social media performance. I get it. This is mostly a controversy of social media, mostly a controversy of bravado, MAGA on Twitter. and not even all of MAGA, as some people at least recognize race. But increasingly, this is the thing. It is increasingly interesting to me that you can tell there's a growing division on the right between those who are of faith and those who maybe they're culturally Christian, but they're not really Christian. And what I mean by this is these moral divisions and willingness to show grace or not show grace, the idea that we must behave exactly like the left or not. Like, I fundamentally, philosophically don't believe I can behave like the left, because I do believe the left overwhelmingly tends to be secular, tends to be godless, tends to be atheist, and they have no concept of grace. They're not worried about an afterlife. They're not worried about a heaven or a hell. They think this is the best there is, and they want to preserve it as best they can, and they'll do whatever they can to preserve it. And I can't play that way. God's ways aren't my ways. My ways aren't their ways. I would rather go to heaven than lose it by fighting the left the way the left fights. And I think at some point you see a bunch of people pulled into worldliness because they see the real world gains, and then they lose. They don't fix their eye on the ultimate prize of eternity. They see the culture war fight right now. They're like, well, I gotta be as ruthless as they are. Screw grace. That makes you weak. I actually think it makes you strong. And we're seeing this divide. So Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, had a high school summit. Now, if I understand the controversy, they invited a porn star to speak. Now, so I got to be careful here how I divide this up. A porn star showed up. She writes at the Federalist. This is a convention targeted to high school students. Adults could come. She was thrown out. I got to say this in two ways. If she bought a ticket and was just there to attend the conference, they should have let her come. But if it was a thing where they invited her and were going to put her on stage and make a show for her, I don't think they should have. I'm sorry. I don't think that the conservative movement needs to embrace or normalize pornography. That doesn't mean I think it should be banned. Now, in an ideal world, if we were in Eric's theocracy, we would, but we're not. We're in the United States. Whether I like it or not, pornography is greater First Amendment protection than political speech these days. But I don't think just because it does, the conservative movement should embrace it or normalize it or promote it. And yet I'm seeing those of a certain character in the conservative movement say, oh, we need all the allies. We need every ally. If we can get porn stars to vote for conservatives, we should have the porn stars on stage convincing people to come with us. We got hot porn stars. Really? Or what about the pro-abortionists? Do we want to be allies with them? Where do we draw the line? I think that I believe in traditional morality, and we should draw a line. I also think that porn, whether you want to talk about it or not, actually has deep, deep, deep destructive tendencies within society. It ruins lives. It ruins healthy relationships, particularly within marriages. And I don't think that's something that we should normalize. The world seems upside down right now when it comes to these sorts of things. You're going to show no grace to the company that has had your back otherwise because of one interview in the New York Times, and then you're going to assail a conservative organization for telling the porn star, we got a bunch of high school kids here. We really don't think we want to promote what you do here, because you want allies there. You want allies there, but not on the other side. None of it makes sense. I think what it is and what I see breaking through is we're seeing, even in the conservative movement, this worldliness divide between those who really are committed to their faith and those who are culturally of the faith but not really committed to it, and they just want to win. They want to beat the left. I don't want to beat the left if it costs me my soul. Now, I'm a Calvinist. I believe once saved, always saved, but that also does mean that as someone within that tribe transcends, supersedes all others, and I should not behave in a way that harms my witness. But there are a lot of people not thinking about those things. We have so, even on the right now, conservatives have so consumed ourselves with everything is political now. Everything is not political. And yet we are doing exactly like the left has done, where we make everything political. And when everything is political, everything becomes a political fight to be won. And not everything really is. And when you do it that way, you harm your soul and the souls of others. And I really believe we all have one. And I believe that we got to keep an eye on the prize, which is eternity, not the next election. And unfortunately, I believe that too many people have lost sight of that. And we're seeing that now pervasive within parts of the conservative movement. And I hope people will have a change of heart, repent, and figure out where they're headed, that we shouldn't be throwing good people under the bus because we have a lapse of agreement with them on a couple of issues. We should also not be embracing values contrary to our values just because we want to build a coalition to beat the other side, because there are a lot of people happy to come into our coalition, take it over, twist it, and change it into something it never was meant to be. And I kind of like my conservatism conserved.
Hello there. I'm looking at Los Angeles County. A coronavirus spike has hit alarming levels. 10,000 infected in a week as the Delta variant spreads. You know, the British health minister, the British chief scientific advisor for COVID, sparked a bit of a scandal yesterday. This is all over social media that the British senior scientific advisor said 60% of people hospitalized in Great Britain were vaccinated. 60% of the people hospitalized in Great Britain for COVID had previously been vaccinated. He actually misspoke and he rushed to correct it, but the damage was already done. It spread all over social media that 60% of people hospitalized in Great Britain for COVID had been vaccinated. Actually, it was 60% of them had been not vaccinated. But that still means 40% had had one or both shots. But they use the AstraZeneca vaccine there. Now, we use the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines here. And overwhelmingly in this country now, the number of people who are in hospitals with COVID are people who have not had the vaccine. It's something like 98 or 99% of the people hospitalized in the United States are unvaccinated. The vaccinated people can get it. I mean, we're seeing this in Washington with the Texas Democratic plague spreaders, the super spreader fleeing from Texas. They passed it off to people at the White House and in Congress who were vaccinated. But what people miss in that is that those who have gotten it have no symptoms. They're asymptomatic. In fact, the two people who got symptoms had runny noses, and that was it. They didn't have the virus. They didn't have substantial infection like most people who get COVID who feel like they've got a bad flu for a few days. They never even got that. So the vaccine clearly works. Now, I mentioned this yesterday, and I mentioned it again today, to some degree slightly doubling down here, because I am overwhelmed with people sending me links to things online that have already been debunked and discredited, but these people clearly don't know it, and so they're sending me stuff, rumor-mongering and fear-mongering, to convince people not to get the vaccine. Frankly, I think that it was a genius development of Donald Trump to do Operation Warp Speed. He poured federal money into getting rid of red tape and helping these private sector companies get set up. Those companies in record time were able to turn around a vaccine that works, that is 95% effective, is literally saving people's lives. If you look at the chart now of COVID infections, they're skyrocketing while the deaths and hospitalizations are flatlined. That's a brilliant, brilliant feat of science and engineering. And Donald Trump deserves a ton of the credit. And I just, frankly, I'm surprised that so many people who supported the president are turning their nose up at the vaccine that would not be but for him. I would expect the left to be the ones to still be skeptical of it, and yet people on the left are getting it. But it's really not a red-blue dynamic. It actually is an income-level dynamic, and poorer people are less likely to get it, and we need to figure out a way to change that.